Turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians, New Testament book of Galatians. We've been hearing a good deal from this pulpit in recent weeks about the nature of tribulations and problems and difficulties and adversity. We've been hearing a lot about faith and about patience, about steadfastness, about believing God, and about persevering in the difficulties that come our way. And we've been learning about how to embrace problems when they come and how to count them joy. Or at least God's been trying to teach us that. I don't know whether we've been learning it or not, but at least He's been trying to get across to us. And I saw something this week that I never quite made a connection in this sense, but I understood I've read this passage many times, and not the Galatians passage, I'm just doing some prep work here, and then later on we'll get to it, over in Hebrews 12. There's a verse in particular, one verse there in particular, that just really struck me this week as significant in shedding some more light on what the Lord has been trying to teach us. And so let's begin with our study of the Word this morning from Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22. We're going to read two verses here, 22 and 23. These will be very familiar to you. And these describe or list, perhaps not all, but at least a part of what the Bible calls the fruit of the Spirit. This is the produce that the Holy Spirit produces in us through our reborn human spirit. That what comes out, it's like if you go to a peach tree, you expect to get peaches. A peach is the fruit of a peach tree. Well, a Christian tree ought to give forth certain kinds of fruit as well. And that's why I say this is the produce of the Christian life. This is what ought to come out of the reborn Christian heart. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Everybody say love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering, you know what long-suffering is? To be patient with ourselves and with one another. Gentleness, I think we all understand gentleness. Goodness, we understand what it is to be a good person. Faith, and actually this word in the Greek is faithfulness or fidelity. In other words, in the same way that God is faithful. This is not faith in believing God. This is faith in keeping faith with those with whom we have commitments. Meekness or humility. Temperance, which is self-control. Against such, there is no law. Now, I want us to, we're going to look at three other verses that tell us something about three of these nine fruits of the Spirit. The first one is in Philippians. That's fairly close to where you are. Philippians chapter 4. And I want us to observe how strong, how powerful, and how unmovable and unshakable this fruit is, or these fruits, if I can say it that way, the nature of these fruits. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now the word keep means to guard, to protect. And so peace is a powerful, strong, immovable fruit If I don't know how else to describe this. Because peace is described here in this passage as something, as a fruit, that is able to guard our hearts and our minds against forces that would come against. Now I want you to turn to Nehemiah. Can you find Nehemiah in the Old Testament? Nehemiah, chapter number 8. A familiar verse. Nehemiah 8. And verse 10. The latter part of that verse says, the joy of the Lord is my strength, your strength, my strength. The joy of the Lord, in other words, the fruit of joy provides strength. There's a powerful force in this fruit. It will keep us strong. Now turn to Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon is after Ecclesiastes. You have Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. And I want you to find the 7th chapter. And we'll read 2 verses, and we're looking here for the nature of love. And what I'm accenting here today is the strength and the power that is in these fruit, the force that is there. This is not just some these are not just some nice sounding platitudes. There is a power in the fruit of the Spirit for living. Verse 6, Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 6. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is as strong as death. And then if you'll jump down to the 7th verse, it says, many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. Now, I don't know if that speaks to you, but that speaks volumes to me. And it says that if I'm operating in the spiritual fruit of love, that no matter what comes against me, it cannot be flooded, it cannot be destroyed, it cannot be overcome or quenched. No matter how big the tidal wave of opposition is, if I'm operating in the fruit of love, true spiritual love, this spiritual fruit, that I will stand when the flood is gone. Now, we could do the same thing with all of these fruits. I've just chosen the first three, love and joy and peace, to make a point. But we could take meekness, humility. We could take temperance. We could take fidelity and gentleness. If you'll read in the Psalms, you will find that King David said, thy gentleness hath made me great. This is a very unusual thing to say, isn't it? Because normally, it's not gentleness that makes a person great, particularly a man. I mean, a gentle man is generally understood by the world as a wimp, a wuss. But the Word of God says that true gentleness, the fruit of gentleness, that which comes from the Spirit of God through the reborn Christian spirit, the reborn human spirit, will make a person great. And so we could take them all, goodness and long-suffering. But I think we make the point. That's really all I'm trying to do. Now you're ready for Hebrews chapter 12. I don't think it's going to take me very long to make this point. So those of you about to go to sleep, do not have long to wait. I was warned this morning by by someone who didn't get much sleep last night. If I fall asleep during your message this morning, Pastor, it's not because your preaching is dull. It's because I didn't get enough sleep. Hebrews chapter 12, and let's see how many verses we want to take here. The context actually starts in verse 18. But I don't think it'll be necessary to deal with all of those verses. Let's go to verse 25. There's so much in verse 18 through 25 that I'd get off on some side trails here. So let's see if we can stay on target. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, talking about God. In other words, don't refuse what he said. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. In this passage, he's making a comparison between the Old Testament believers and the New Testament believers. And those that heard him speak on the mountain, Moses, you know, and then the New Testament who hear him speak inside. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, this comes from the book of Joel. Yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now that's the verse that strikes me today. And what the Lord is, what he's saying to me and what I'm going to try to say to you is this. When something happens in your life that when something occurs, when a shaking takes place in your life, and something that is in your life is shaken, we should not be upset over that. We should rejoice over that. Because if it's shakable, then it isn't worth having. And this passage says that God shakes things in order to reveal the shakable, so that we do not mistake the shakable for the unshakable. He wants us in our lives to settle for nothing except that which cannot be shaken. But so many times we cannot tell the difference. Someone says, I love you. And we've got to make a decision. Am I going to marry this girl who says, I love you? I'd really like to know, is this love going to carry me until death do us part? Or is this love not going to make the first anniversary? See, it's very easy to say, I love you. Isn't it? It's said all the time. Three little words. You know that song? If you were alive in the 30s or 40s, you would know it. Whoa, hallelujah! This is called a well-rounded education. Now, you know, if somebody says, I love you, you say, oh, I love you too. I mean, that's cool. No big deal. But if somebody says, I love you and I want to marry you, that's a deal. That's a deal. And you'd better know whether this is the unshakable love that will carry you through the problem. How many of you who are married have never had any problems in your marriage? Hey, listen, there's a whole lot of shaking going on in marriages. I know I don't do it very well, but you get the message. I lived through the 60s, but I didn't actually embrace them, okay? We probably have some 60s folks here that could really do it. Uh-huh, somebody said. The point is, life is full of opportunities for important things to be shaken. And if you're going to live a life that is reasonably stable, you want that life based upon things that are unshakable. Because the wind is going to blow. The storms are going to come. The thunderer is going to crash. And the lightning is going to flash. This is what Jesus was talking about when he said, you know, build your house on the rock, not on the sand, and so on and so forth. So I'm reading that verse, and it just comes to me. Why do we get so upset? Why do I get so upset when something doesn't go the way I think it ought to go? If it doesn't go that way, it shouldn't go that way, because if I let it go that way, it's going to rise up and bite me in the backside, you know, soon. Huh? Yes, amen. And so this is what the Lord would say to you today. And this is what he's speaking to me. He's saying, when something in your life gets shaken, if it is able to be shook, shaked, shooken, shaken, if it is capable of being shaken, then you want to rejoice that it shook. That's good, isn't it? That worked? You see what I have to deal with, Butch. You want to rejoice that it was shook, not go into a fit over it, but we ought to celebrate it. I know that's not easy. I mean, I'm just as human as you are, maybe more so, in this area anyway. And so I know that's not easy. And this is why it is important for us to know the New Testament says 3 times, the just shall live by faith. And so when something important in your life is all of a sudden, man, that thing is just shook. Whoa, it's just shaken. You're going to have to dig down and grab your faith. You're going to have to get your patience up there. Remember we talked about patience that strengthens faith and supports faith until we see clearly. You're going to have to dig down and grab a hold of those things. Because you want in your life, you want unshakable peace. See, if the peace you have is shakable, you ain't got this kind. This is like the lady that comes into my office and tells me about something's going on in her life, and she says, but I've got peace, Pastor. And we laugh at that, but that is a tragic situation because there is someone who doesn't know what's going on, see? You want a peace that's going to keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus when these things are going on. I want that kind of peace. I want a joy that is not dependent upon the fact that everything in my life is going okay. I want a joy that causes my heart to rejoice when things are not going very well. Don't you? And so if I've got a joy that can be shaken, I don't have this kind. Because this kind is strong. This kind is immovable. If I've got a peace that the devil can take away from me, if he can snatch my peace by having someone do something to me, I haven't got this kind. Because this kind of peace will keep your heart. It'll guard your mind in Christ Jesus. It's not you won't feel things. Of course you're going to feel things. We're emotional beings. God made us that way. But I want to know if my temperance, if my gentleness, I want to know if my humility, I want to know if it's the true kind. I want to know if it's the real fruit. I want to know if the love that is operating in, I want to know if it's the real kind or if I just love him because he looks good. Or he, when I say, you know what I'm talking about, pretty people are easy to love. I was thinking about this yesterday. I was out at my son's, and he and his family are building a new house. They have about 18 dogs out there. and they're, I mean, I'm exaggerating, but you get the picture. And they just run six, she says, six, one for each kid. And so they just run through the, yeah, they run through the house, you know, and one thing and another. And they've got They got a couple of really ugly, moppy-looking kinds of, I don't know what you call these dogs, but they're moppies. You know what I'm talking about? You don't know how they see? I'm not talking about the sheepdog. I'm talking about the little Shih Tzu. Couldn't we please change that name? I think we'll just call that a zoo. And they've got a little black dog that thinks he's a dachshund. But then they've got this beautiful Sheltie miniature collie type dog. Beautiful fur. Lovely color, beautiful face. Guess which is my favorite dog? And I'm watching this and I'm saying, you know, that ugly little dachshund might have a very nice personality. But this dog is beautiful. And we treat people that way too. Beautiful people, easy to love. Some people, very hard to love. Now, if all you can love is the beautiful people, and you can't love the ones that aren't so beautiful, you ain't got this kind. I want that shaken in me. I'd like to have it shaken in you. You may not want it that way, but I do. I do. The apostle says that the purpose for the shaking, now listen to this, listen to that 27th verse. The purpose for the shake. God has a purpose in the shaking. Not that he wants to hurt you. God doesn't want to hurt you. He loves you. He wouldn't hurt you any more than you would hurt one of your own kids. The purpose for the shaking is to show you what is in your life that you think is real and good, but ain't. And what you're left with is the unshakable. And so let's not worry about that which is already shaken and gone. Let us pay attention to that which remains, because that is the good stuff. Now, I don't care how old you are. I don't care whether you're McKaylee's age or whether you're my age. This does not change with age. This is a principle of the kingdom of God. I want you to underline this passage in your Bible. Those things which are shaken, as of things which are made, that those things, in order that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now you're going to need faith, as I said. I'll say it again. You're going to need faith to live life this way. Because when the shaking takes place, you don't know at that point. It's very easy for us to let our emotions get a hold of us and take control of us. And we get all frustrated and say, oh God, why'd you do this? Oh God, how did I get in that? How did I do this? Why? And so all of those questions mean nothing. Let's just say, thanks, Lord. The steps of good men are ordered by the Lord. I praise you that you are ordering my steps. I thank you that you love me enough. I tell you, when I was a boy, I had a good friend. I thought he was a good friend. He taught me how to smoke. He taught me how to be interested in the private parts of girls. Come on, we've all been there. I mean, we've all been kids. We've all been curious about these things. He taught me how much fun it was to lift something without paying for it from the local drugstore. My dad forbid me to see him. He said he's a bad actor. I thought my dad was... But see, I had a good father. We had a heavenly father that's the same way. We've got a heavenly father that knows where there are bad actors. We've got a heavenly father that knows what things are going to hurt us. We've got a heavenly father who cares enough. Thank you, dear Jesus. Don't you want to say thank you, Lord? Thank you, Lord, for caring enough about me that you would let me hurt. You take your child to the doctor, and your child screams when the doctor brings the needle out. And the doctor says, would you please hold your child? What do? You hold the child, you try to comfort the child, you know it's going to hurt. I mean, you can say it's not going to hurt, but you know it's going to hurt. But what do? You do that because you love the child and you know the child needs a needle. Isn't that what you do? And our Heavenly Father does the same thing. So you know, whatever, let's trust Him. I mean, let's just believe that what He said is true. Let's trust that He cares about us, that He loves us, that He's watching out for us, and that He's our shepherd, and that He's caring for us. And let's trust that what He's doing in our life, regardless of how it looks. I can tell you that when Paul said, I glory in my tribulations because tribulation produces experience, and experience hope, and so on, I understand what he meant. Now, I tell you, the longer you live, the better you will understand it too, the longer you live as a Christian. Experience with the Lord really does. I'm not saying this because I think I have fully apprehended it all, because I haven't. I know that. You probably know it about me just as well. But what I am saying to you that is that experience is a wonderful teacher, and sometimes we have to learn it that way. I would prefer that we could learn it just by precept. I would prefer that, you know, the Lord teaches us this today. We walk out of here, praise God, I got it. But I know that's not the way it's going to happen. None of us are going to have it completely. But we're going to have a better understanding than we had when we walked in this morning. And we're going to handle the difficulties and the tribulations and the afflictions and the things that don't go right in life. We're going to handle them better because of what he said to us today. I want the unshakable, don't you? Anything that can be shaken, I don't care about it. I don't want it. I don't want it in my life. It is not a blessing. Because as long as I'm holding on to the shakable, I can't take hold of the unshakable. And I'm depriving myself of the very thing that my heart is crying for. Because I'm holding on to something that God is showing me is shakable. Amen. You want to stand with me, please? Woo! I about preach myself happy today. Well, let's finish what we started a little bit before. I want you to close your eyes. I want to lift your hands about as high as you can lift them. I love you, Lord. Come on, sing it with me. And I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let me be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Sing that last line with me again. Let me be a sweet,
sweet sound in your ear.
That, Lord, that is our heart. We just love you. And we want to live a life that's pleasing to you. Help us to do so in Jesus' name. Amen.